Good morning. Our scripture is found in Luke 24, verses 13 through 26. It is written or printed on the back of your bulletin if you would like to read it there, or certainly if you would like to take out your Bibles and follow along there. This is a narrative about a couple of individuals and what was going on in the days following the death of Jesus, the crucifixion of Christ. And it gives us, I think, a very solid picture that we can see really for our own lives. Luke 24, 13 through 26. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they had found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" May God add to the reading of his scripture. You know, when I was a boy, my first vehicle, really wasn't mine, but the first one I got to drive and spend some time in, was a 52 Ford pickup. That's a long time ago. Had a flathead engine in it and an old four-speed transmission with compound or granny gear. Everybody know what compound is? Probably, yeah. I remember I hauled hay and I could put it in compound and get out and walk along beside the truck and reach in and steer it every now and then, about how fast it went. But let me tell you, that thing was strong. It would pull a stump out of the ground in compound gear, right? It was real. For these two men, things have just got real. They have put their faith and their trust and their life in Jesus Christ. They have committed everything to him, as had all of the disciples. They had left their livelihoods. They had left family. They had followed him, listening to every word. They had seen the miracles. They had seen all of the fantastic things that he did. They had seen lame people walk. They had seen blind restored their sight. They had even seen the dead raised. They believed in Jesus, and now they have seen him delivered by the chief priest to the trial and to be whipped and mocked and crucified. And many of them, not knowing what to do, have denied knowing him. Judas obviously had betrayed him. Even Peter had said, "I don't know who this guy is," and had cursed in doing so. Life for these men has gotten real, and it isn't a pretty picture. It's painful. I'm sure they were scared. I'm sure there were a range of emotions that they were going through. probably a roller coaster. On one hand, they would be scared to death, and maybe the next hour they'd be angry. Maybe the next hour they'd feel like we need to get revenge, and then they'd go back to being scared to death again. If you've ever been in a really difficult position, sometimes your emotions can go up and down, and you don't know where to go. I believe that's where these men were at as they walked. They were in a state of shock. Many of them, if not all, were feeling ashamed, either for not standing up or for outright denying him. So it brings the question, and I think it is an age-old question that we all face. Why do bad things happen? Now, I've heard this sermon, or one similar, at least this subject, preached many times, and it's always, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that's not really true. Bad things happen to everybody. Good, bad, everybody. Bad things happen. And I think it is one of those things that we need to ingrain and understand deeply in our lives. Bad things are going to happen. I know there are a lot of churches and a lot of preachers today that like to stand up and paint a rosy picture and say everything's going to be fine. Think positive, keep smiling, sun's always going to shine, everything's going to be great. That's a lie. You're going to have some bad times. Some bad things are going to happen in my life, and some bad things are going to happen in your life. I don't like it. I wish that weren't so, but it's a reality. And honestly, I think as most of you, if not all of you, when I look at the direction that our country is going in, I fear that we are headed into some difficult times and some bad things are going to happen. I won't dwell a lot on that, but my wife and I have talked a lot, as I'm sure most couples do. And we have said, I think we can make it for us. But I worry about our grandchildren. I worry about your grandchildren. I don't know what the next generation is going to have to deal with. Some bad things are going to happen. So maybe today we can stop and get at least a bit of understanding why bad things happen and hopefully see what we ought to do. I have identified three reasons that bad things happen. Preachers, we go in threes. There's always three of whatever. Well, honestly, I see three reasons that bad things happen, and I want us to look through those this morning. Bad things happen, number one, because we live in a fallen and wicked world. We live in a world that is filled with sin and with wickedness. And I don't know if it's getting worse. It's certainly not getting better. We have reached a point now where it seems that we have trouble understanding the difference between a boy and a girl. And I don't know why we have such a problem with that. But our society does. There is a lot of sin in this world. We do our best to insulate ourselves and our families from the evil in this world. I would imagine every one of us, when they go to bed at night, locks our door. Is that pretty much a universal thing? Growing up, we didn't have a lock on our door. We lived out in the country, and I guess it was like if you could get past the 15 hound dogs in the front yard, get to the house without waking everybody up, you were welcome to try. We didn't have locks, but I would not go to bed now without a lock. Until I was probably 20, I didn't own a handgun. My wife thinks I have too many of them now, but I do have them. I do that to insulate myself and my family. I know it's a wicked world, and I pay attention to my surroundings. I try not to put myself at risk, and I try especially to make sure my wife and my children are not at risk. Because I know this is a wicked world and there are bad people out there. one only needs to watch the news for a few minutes to see the unbelievable brutality and sin. And it isn't a new thing. You know, Cain killed his brother Abel with a rock. We talk about Cain occasionally and how he was banished and how he had a mark put on him to keep people from killing him. But what about Abel? Abel was a decent and upright man. He sacrificed to God. He did what was right. He had a lot of potential, and Cain took it, and Cain destroyed it. Everything that he was and everything that he ever would be, Cain destroyed. That happens not because of anything Abel did. It wasn't because something God did. It's because there is sin in the world, and there was sin in the world from the time Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Sin makes victims of innocent people, and it destroys lives. And we need to understand that and be careful, be on our guard to avoid those things. Number two, now that probably was a key for me to move to the next point, wasn't it? My wife, I suspect, is doing that. Number two, bad things happen because we make bad choices. Now this gets down to where we live. You know, there was a meme going around Facebook. Some of you may have seen it. It said, everything happens for a reason. Often the reason is we're stupid and we make really bad choices. Right. That's just the truth. Bad things happen in our lives many times because we make bad choices. In Luke 23, 39 through 43, the two thieves were hanging on the cross beside Jesus. And one of them railed on Jesus, saying, if thou really art the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him and said, don't you fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we justifiably, we've done wrong, and we're being punished. But he's done nothing wrong. You see, the thief that was on the cross beside Jesus, one of them took no responsibility for what was happening. And the other one said, this is a bad thing, and it's happening because we've made bad choices. We've done some wrong things. They were criminals, and they were being punished for their crimes. Today, when you and I do things that are foolish, we pay a price for them. And I am amazed continually at how people seem to think that they can do anything that they want to do and never have to pay the price. And it's simply not true. We have tons of illegal drugs coming across the border that are literally killing people by the thousands. And you know why? Because people are foolish enough to believe, I can take drugs and get by with it. I can do this and nothing will happen to me. And it's simply not true. How many men and women cheat on their spouse and think, I can do this and get by with it? And it's not true. Every week at least, sometimes more often, I have people in my office who are in trouble financially. And when you start digging into what happened, you realize they blew their money with the idea that tomorrow will take care of itself. I don't have to worry about it. I can do this and have no repercussions. Sin has consequences. And if I sin, it has consequences in my life. If I overeat, my health suffers. If I overdrink or use alcohol or drugs, my health suffers. There are consequences for everything we do. Bad things happen to me and to you more often than not because of something I have done. So what do? Repent. Turn around and go the other direction. You know, there is an old farmer saying that says, if you do what you've always done, you will get what you've always got. If your life is a mess and you keep doing the wrong things, it's not going to get better. It's going to stay a mess until we repent, until we come to God and say, okay, I've done wrong. What do you want me to do? What direction do you want me to take? And we start doing that right thing, then our life will get better. I promise you, if you will get on your knees regularly, if you will ask God's direction in your life, if you will stop doing the thing that you know is wrong, your life will get better. Bad things happen often, not always, but often because we cause them to happen. There is a bright side. You know, when Satan tempted Eve in the garden, he lied to her. He told Eve, when she said, if we eat of this fruit, we'll die. And Satan said, you won't really die. You'll be all right. You will have knowledge. We have that same lie today. If you do this, you'll be okay. He lies to us. But there is a bright side. You know, there is the old gospel song, I know the Lord will make a way for me. And I love this line from that song. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. Now, I'm not promising you that no bad thing will happen in your life. You'll still see bad things happen. But if you live a holy life, if you dedicate your life to the cause of Christ, if you seek God's will and you do it, He will make a way for you. He will bring you out. He will save your eternal soul. That is the bright side to bad things happen because we make bad decisions. And the third one. God uses hard times, bad things, to make us soldiers fit for His service. And I'll say that again, just try to, for emphasis, I guess. You know, as Colt points out in Bible study occasionally, when the Bible says something twice, it's for emphasis. Well, let me say that again for emphasis. God uses hard times and bad things in our lives for our benefit. He makes us better people because of them. In Mark 4, 35 and 41, it says, in the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, being Jesus, even as He was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and said unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Okay, Jesus used that storm that they went through to teach them, to make them more fit disciples. Whenever the storm started coming up, these men, many of them were sailors, fishermen, what have you. They'd been on the sea their entire life. They knew what to do. I can imagine that as they saw the clouds coming, one of them said, yeah, I've seen this before. This is going to be a bad one. We better take the right steps. They probably turned into the wind, took down the sails, covered up all the hatches, did all of the things that a sailor would do, maybe a lot more that I don't know about. I've never been a sailor. But they did the right things, and it didn't fix it. It kept getting worse, and it kept getting worse. And it says, until the ship was full, they were sinking. And when they finally went to Jesus, it wasn't, Lord, can you help us? Or, we've got a bit of a problem here. We need some help. It was, don't you even care that we're dying? We're perishing. They were panicked. They were in a state of extreme fear. And, of course, you know the rest of it. Jesus calmed the sea. Jesus knew when they left for the other side, he knew that storm was coming. He is God. He is omnipotent. He knew that they were going to sail into a very bad storm. And he purposely went back and curled up and went to sleep, let them have it for a little while. In our lives, oftentimes, God knows we're sailing into a storm. He knows. And he lets it happen. He lets it happen to teach us, to make us better soldiers fit for his service. It's hard to understand when we're in the midst of the storm. I've been through a few myself, and I would imagine if I went around the room this morning and asked each of you to tell me the worst thing that's happened in your life, some of you would have some really bad stories, I know, that have gone through some really difficult things. The truth is, we've all gone through some things. It's hard to know. It's hard to understand what to do in those times when it is bad times. But if we can keep our focus on God, if we can just stay on our knees and keep praying, while the storm rages, he is still in control. Jesus was not going to let these men perish. He had no intention of seeing them drown out on the sea. They were his followers. He loved them. He was preparing them. These were the same men who would take his gospel all over the world. They had a task to do, and he was getting them prepared. He wasn't going to let them die, no matter what they thought. God is preparing you and I. He has a purpose for us. I believe with all of my heart that God has brought me and he has brought each of you to this place for a purpose. He has something in mind for us. And it may be fantastic. It may be, you know, doing something miraculous and great. Or it may be one person. One of the other things about this narrative that you must keep in mind, after they went through the entire storm, after they nearly drowned, after all of the trouble, they got to the other side and they converted one man. One man had demons cast out. One man became in his right mind, setting clothes and was returned to his family. What am I saying? We may go through an enormous storm. We may see a lot of hard times. God has something for us. On the other side, it may be one individual, or it may be thousands. That's not our business. Our business is to do what God wants us to do and be prepared to take on the storm for Him. I am sure that as we go through life, things will happen. Sometimes we will feel like we're all alone. Sometimes we won't know what to do. Shall we cower as victims, helplessly begging the demons of this world for mercy and knowing that we will receive none? You know, I see the shootings and all of the stuff that takes place. I know as you do. And I'm not really a scary person, but I understand that someday I could be involved in one of those. Somebody could come into a restaurant or somewhere where I'm at and start shooting the place up. If that's God's will for my life, then I pray only this, that I will have the courage and the faith to stand up and fight back. I will not die on my knees begging a madman for my life. And I hope in the police report there's a footnote that says it was a tremendous battle. Right? As a Christian, I will not live my life on my knees begging the demons to have mercy on me. I won't do that. I want the faith and the courage to stand up and to fight back. Whatever it is, I pray God give each of us the grace and the passion to live our lives with courage and to fight back against the demons. And when we stand before God, I hope He says with a smile, "You fought an awesome battle." Right? Hard times are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen in my life. And they're going to happen in your life. But we have a God who is on the throne. Doesn't mean He's going to stop every bad thing that could happen. But in the end, we will have victory. We are tasked with living in a fallen world and to make disciples, to reach as many people as we possibly can for Jesus. It's time as a church we stand up and fight back. Please stand.